This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Josette.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Katie. You might know us because we are a band called Muna.
And this is our podcast, Gayotic,
where we gaily, chaotically talk about us and anything that we want because we're the bosses.
So welcome to hell. Strap in and get ready for whatever the crap we're going to talk about this episode.
So true, bestie.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. And then there's a car crash.
Let's go.
Listen to the first episode, you knew that I did a lot of whippets at one point. Not a lot, but I've done enough to damage the recollection.
I don't know why my memory is so bad. It could be from smoking weed every day.
Yeah, that's actually also, the weed is real.
I worry about that with myself.
I know, I worry about it too.
But I think the memory, then I forget to worry about it, so.
You know what? And that's
that
why.
Sounds like a t-shirt.
That's why weed is a
forget
blessing.
Forget to worry about it.
To be honest, as I said, we all need a good hit in the head. And I say it again because I forgot the first time.
No, but also the thing of like memory loss as like an anxiety trauma coping mechanism.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Gnarly.
Whoa, dude, you just think about, I watched the, you guys weren't having interest in this.
I don't want to tell you about the Night Stalker.
No, it's not that. It's akin. Okay. It is akin.
I don't want to talk about
I don't want to hear about the Night Stalker again. don't tell me about the Night Stalker.
Even seeing the poster
trying to tell Naomi about a murder thing.
I'm like,
But this does have to do with that, but it's really interesting.
Okay.
It's this lady who was like kind of like the forefront of diagnosing people with multiple personality disorder, but it was about like, it's also about mass incarceration and how like, so many people who are convicted serial murderers are just deeply mentally ill and aren't given the... Well, obviously. But it's just the... Well, obviously. Well, yeah, you idiot. Well, sorry. Sorry, I wasn't a fucking genius.
I figured every guy going in there was the healthiest man on earth.
That really spiraled.
And one day, something bad he did.
And then he accidentally did it a couple more times.
It was a big problem, but he's fine.
Either way.
I thought we knew, like, they're mentally ill, but, like, the problem is that they could kill people.
No, but they weren't, like, properly diagnosed. Like, it's really the argument of, like, evil. Where people in, who take... Part.
I know. Something's
people
funny.
Who take part in the system of mass incarceration believe that people are inherently evil,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and this woman is like, no, these people are actually deeply mentally ill and aren't receiving
and
the help that they need.
Yeah,
but it's also about like so many people who actually are like so deeply traumatized that they have like things like schizophrenia and like multiple personality disorder.
Yeah,
and they're just not. It was like. It's so much.
Have y'all ever gotten onto like a YouTube hole of like?
To be honest, that type of
weird...
shit shakes me to my bones.
Yeah. Louis was really into that. Louis was into what's the movie Sybil?
Sybil's fucked
with
up.
A young Sally
Sybil's
Fields.
Sybil's fucked up.
Yeah,
I can't talk about Sybil legally, but
nobody's gonna have to contact their lawyer.
I am obligated to avoid that discussion for personal reasons.
I didn't really even get to the point.
I don't know how we got here.
I didn't get to even to the point. And
okay.
The point
Katie
stupid.
Was talking about the hair growing on her face, and you were like, maybe you're, you know what? It's, okay,
you're
this
a serial
is a completely
killer.
Random thought related to serial killers and fear and scary things from the internet. Do you remember that thing?
About the hair turning into a man who kill you?
No, well, kind of. There's the photo of the man. It's like, this man has appeared in everyone's dreams. And it's like this picture of this weird man's face. Yeah, but it's like, but ultimately the man looks like pretty stupid. Like,
he's a normal guy.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's kind of just like, and it's dude, like, this man is in everyone's, he's the dream man.
When did this happen? Was this on the internet like
a few years ago? Yeah, definitely E-bombs. Definitely,
but E-bombs to current. I have seen him on the timeline.
God, he kind of looks like a Cro-Magnon.
So
scary.
I know.
It's so scary.
I saw it, and then I got scared, and then I was kind of like, that's so stupid. They're like, the moment you wake up from a dream, they're just like, was he in it? And you're like, I just woke up. Yes.
I just woke up. You told me. Yes.
Like,
to be honest, though, that really, like, why is that so, like, oogie boogie?
You know
what I mean? And I hear that, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it gives me the kind of, it gives me an E-bombs world feeling.
Yeah, but the E-bombs world is oogie boogie. You know what I mean? I was going on there to be a little bit scared and also aroused.
A little bit aroused. Yeah, totally.
Well, it seems like you might see some
boobies.
Some hoo-has.
Well, I've told you guys this. E-bombs was like cartoons. My gateway to porn because there were videos of like, there were stick figure videos.
Oh, the
videos.
Stick sex.
Yeah, there was stick sex.
I'm actually unfamiliar, but.
Well, they were gay. There was like videos where like.
Was it guys?
Yeah, it was guys. And there was like, there was one particular video that I would like search specifically because in like the last 10 seconds of the video, there's like a depiction of like these two guys, they're stick figures. And
touching
one
sticks.
Of them is giving the other one a blowjob. And there's, and the sound effects are quite realistic. And
wow.
I was like, what? Have you seen that? I was like, bomb, bomb, be down.
But that's like, you're like ASMR.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah,
that one. Why do I feel like this?
Yeah.
I like those videos, actually. I think they're really funny.
Yeah, they're cute.
But you're like into the auditory, because didn't you say you got turned on by the ASMR?
How dare you?
Sorry, I ousted her.
Yeah, no, I guess you're really putting something together for me.
Yeah.
I need I like the sounds.
Bum, bum, be down.
Yeah, this is actually the sound that turns her on the most.
Me. And then the video is like.
But also, whoa, that's actually really interesting because it's your greatest turn on and also your worst fear.
Oh, yeah, because I hate this mouth
you
sounds.
You hate mouth sounds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This has shaken me to my core. I'm on my knees.
Shaking.
Shaking
praying,
violently
baby,
thinking
please.
About this.
You know what? I've been gassy in the mouth. I've been congested.
It's like a horrible way of
gassy.
Saying that.
You've
okay,
been in the mouth.
You do not.
Christ.
Do not be mean.
I'm sorry.
No, I was trying to say, do not slander me, but the word slander slipped out of my slithering skull.
And instead I said, do not be mean.
I went to the most base primary thought that I could have, which was frankly, do not be mean.
You know what?
Pretty
really
iconic.
Is.
Can everyone just be nice?
New merch release. Rip,
hey.
Harry Styles rip.
Yeah.
Do not be mean.
We are taking his eloquent sentence and just simpling it down for the simpletons out there.
Yeah, I watched an actual drag show on Zoom recently.
Cool. Whoa.
And I saw like regular, like I saw drag queens that were like cis men who were drag queens. And then I saw cis women, like butches that were doing like drag, they were drag kings.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But it was interesting. And then I saw there was also a genderqueer person who did drag as like a drag king. But it was interesting to think about how it's like for genderqueer people, it's like either way, it's drag. Like,
yeah, I feel the same way.
Really, for any gender identity, either way, it's drag.
Yeah.
Like you could even be a cis gay man and be a drag king.
Like, I really want to do bio drag and I want to do I don't know what you drag kinging.
Mm-hmm. It makes me curious. The more I watch people do drag, it's like, it's almost like it makes me think about like Jungian psychology.
For sure.
And like the shadow selves, because it's like there's some people say that their drag is like an alter ego.
Some people it's actually like the thing that's been interesting is like certain people on RuPaul who who later come out, like I find out later after watching that they came out as trans, uh-huh. and it's just like, it's like you can tell that they're really, really being themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely interesting.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you could just see people doing something and it's like, that's really who you are and who you're meant to,
and,
to mm-hmm. be.
And even mm-hmm. if that expression is like entirely over the top.
Yeah.
Like that is still valid and is not, like the essence of that is true.
Yeah.
You know?
I just love how long it takes everybody to figure out what their vibe is.
Yeah.
Like, it's very beautiful.
It's hell, but
it's hard and it's hell. And I think a lot of it is like, you know, being led astray or told not to listen, yeah, to your gut instinct or something.
I watched a video of Gabor Mate and it was having to do with obviously like the body, not the body keeps the score, but
the one I sent you?
His similar research. It was the 20-minute long one where he's talking about the cello woman, right?
Yeah, I sent you that.
Yeah, and he was like,
oh, was God, that was such a sad story.
Oh my God, I can't even really get into it, but it's so depressing. But he talks about how he's like, raise your hand if you've ever had a gut instinct before.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he
obviously
talks about
everyone
the gut.
Raises their hand.
Yeah.
And he was like, when has your gut instinct about something been wrong?
Yeah.
And then it's like way fewer people raise their hands. And it's like, yeah, your gut, there is something about like the essence of you being knowing something more than your own brain.
I feel like a lot of people are just really detached from it. Like, I think I'm really
we're
detached
told
from
to
it.
Be. Well, that's also a product of how we were raised and culture and...
Yeah, totally.
Well, and also being told that we're, like, wrong. You know what I mean?
I don't even know what... I think sometimes it's like you don't even really know why, but it's just, like, that's your experience and...
Or you just get the feeling that you can't trust yourself because you
I don't
not.
Think I can trust myself,
and
yeah.
That, and then so you inherently kind of maybe learn to interpret your gut feelings in different ways or whatever.
I do think I have a good gut instinct, but I do think I fall victim to being like trying not to close myself off to things. And so I let things maybe, even though I know it's
right,
even though I've been told and I know that it's not right.
Right. Because there's like, having the instinct and there's also like having to set a boundary or something. Or if you like have an instinct, you know, you're gay or you're trans or heterosexuality is not for you or whatever, but it's like you don't want to lose your attachments to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what he talks about a lot in
When
the Body Says No, was like, mm-hmm. we have a need, we're really vulnerable when we're younger in that we like need to be loved and need to be attached to our caretakers, but if you have impulses that they are not acceptable to them, then you kind of have to learn to not do them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like Gabor Mate should be the bumper of the podcast. Like, if we start name-checking Gabor Mate, we need to turn back.
But okay, this actually brings me to
Gabor Mate.
This does bring me to what I was going
to
talk
around.
About. It does kind of.
It's a perfect segue.
What my thing was, okay, when was the first time that you felt gay shame?
Oh, my
Fuck
God.
Me. Okay.
I love this question.
Gay okay.
Like that you felt because, shame.
Because gay shame is different than gay feelings. My gay precede my shame.
Yeah, me too. Well, when you realize that, it's not like you realize it was wrong, but because mm-hmm. it's not wrong. But when you realize
so
it was wrong.
When you realize how wrong it was.
But
so
that is a thing. You know what I mean? Like you realize you're just like, oh no.
Yeah.
I think for me,
I have so many memories.
No
it's
one
like
ever,
crazy.
I feel fortunate in that no one, I came up and grew up kind of in a very like loving and accepting community of people, and I went to very progressive schools and whatever. Like I never thought that being gay was bad or anything like that, and I don't think anyone ever made me feel that way. But I do think it was kind of when my like obvious difference from my peers started to become apparent, like when I was like in, I think I felt like gender shame. I felt gender
me
shame
too.
Really intensely, like around like pre-puberty between like 9 and 11, when like they're
would
kind
people
of like,
accidentally
okay,
call you a boy because you were with the boys all the time.
Yeah, they've done that before, and like I kind of liked that, and like I also like I played on the boys' soccer team, and then I couldn't play on the boys' soccer team anymore because yada yada. And then that kind of made me feel like internal gender nonconforming shame about the way that I presented and that I wasn't normal and that I wasn't like, why couldn't I just be like other girls, quote unquote, and just be normal? And but I just couldn't. So I felt that shame young. And then I think the sexuality shame of like, of not liking not only not being cis, but also not liking men at all, really.
Oh, that's interesting.
Was weird, because I think in my head I'm just like, I'm different because I'm not a girl really, like, and I kind of got treated like not a girl really by most people. But I think, yeah, once I realized that like my peers were experimenting sexually with boys and like and really liked boys and wanted to date them, I was like, I like them. Like, I'm nice. Friends with them, and I kind of get it, but I just like didn't feel those feelings, and it just did not. I was just like, I'm just not like you at all.
Yeah.
When I first started making female friends was around like sixth grade. So that was kind of when everyone's really pubescent and, you know, experimenting and stuff. And I was just like, I'm just not like you. But I also feel really lucky in that I wasn't ever really made to feel shame.
But were
the
you
shame
thinking,
came later.
Were you thinking I like girls, or were you just thinking I don't really like guys as much?
I knew for forever. Yeah. I've known since I was like, I knew that I liked girls when I was like five.
I knew that I loved my kindergarten teacher.
I loved her, dude. Shout
I
out
was
to
talking
Senior
about
Tepe.
This the other day.
She was a really good teacher. Shout out.
LOL.
And she spoke five languages. How
That's
could you
so
not?
Cute.
Anyone in their right mind would have thought she was amazing, and she was.
That's sort of like Naomi's kink. You know what I mean?
She
like even
so,
from a young age,
she had yoga with Adrian energy.
Yeah.
That was her vibe. As
That's
a
great.
I just think about you being a heartbroken kindergartner,
being like, why does she have a boyfriend? His name is Barney. What are you, a dinosaur? Purple dinosaur I watch on TV.
Being
I
like, can't. You can you imagine with me, Naomi like with that. Their little braids?
Psychotic. Aww. I had a really powerfully gay feelings from for forever. They would come in and come out,
but
because then I'd be like,
more...
I like soccer or whatever.
Yeah,
know, like, or like,
I totally.
I like reading my book or something stupid.
But from what I'm hearing, it was more the shame around sexuality was more around like you just not feeling the same thing for guys and not being able to socialize with your female friends.
Just not
in that
relating,
way.
Like, and then kind of having to perform, like,
I totally
relating, being like, ha ha, yeah, ha ha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so interesting.
I relate to
and
you
then,
so
and
much.
And then even trying to, like, get into it and be like, well, sure, he's a good looking guy. And then it's like, yeah, I want to be him. I want to be him. He's so cool. I want to be him. Like, I don't want to be with him. I want to live in his body. Like,
I think that's such
that's
an interesting thing for, like, you know? I feel like any gay person or someone who is on the spectrum of queerness with their gender, with their sexuality, has always had someone there, like, they think that they have a crush on them, but they actually just want to be them.
Yeah, I feel
Or
that.
You want to date the girl they're dating or, like, something
There's
like that.
There's something about it that's...
Anyway.
That you think it's one, you convince yourself
I
it's one thing.
I just did things a different way. It's so interesting how we are the same, but like the patterns are so different.
Well,
you,
in terms
you
of
more,
you're different.
You were also
I am different.
You were also socialized differently than we were in that you were really. Well, obviously, we're all socialized very different.
I was
like
not on any boys' sports team. I was hardly even on the girls' teams.
Yeah, that's
I was like I don't want to play. I don't want to kick the ball.
It's gonna hit me.
But I mean, but I was saying, I was talking about this the other day. I think that I did do a thing where I, from a young age, because you guys know about the Hotties Club.
That made me sad.
Yeah. So when I was in like second grade, I
cool
invented a club.
Idea,
I became a bully.
We'll make this merch.
I was bullied in
we
like
make
kindergarten.
Hotties Club merch, lucky.
But then I made a club, the Hotties Club, and the funny thing is that I made my best friend Brianna hottie number one.
Okay.
And I made myself hottie number two.
You were like, we must all bow to the obviously reverent beauty of my friend. But of course, such is the natural order of things. I'm not a fool.
Like, that's kind of weird.
As the founder of Hotties Club, I have chosen that we worship.
I'm just like, I was having that memory and I was like, makes sense, makes sense, makes sense. Huh, that part's
it's
a little weird.
It's interesting.
And then I think about when I had, because I was the first girl really in my grade to date a guy. I was like, I was
crazy
really
me.
On top of, and I always, and I had crushes on boys, like intense ones that I can remember. But when I think, when I peel one layer back,
I'm excited.
Like Zoom my crush on my boyfriend who I hope you're not listening to this, Neil. I dated Neil for 3 years. From,
oh, Neil.
From fifth grade to seventh grade.
That is started so dating very fucking early. Crazy.
I wonder,
but
put a pin in this thought for me. This is for me to come back.
Okay. When I really look back at that, I remember that on the first day I met him, I thought that he must have had a crush on this other girl.
Oh, so you did it to do that.
I was like, proxy. That other girl is really beautiful, and that other girl, I perhaps even did gay things with when I was younger. It's like, there's so many layers, but it's like, I was like, that other girl is really beautiful. He, of course, likes her. I'm going to like him. And
so as to have an unrequited love.
It was like this, but then it would be requited because I was pretty good at manipulating those situations.
You were like, well, oh no.
Like if I,
oh no, well, I got what
oh
I wanted.
Oh no, I'm going to date him for 3 years.
oh no. Really long term. That's the thing that's shocking to me.
Well, but what is a relationship when you're in fifth grade?
I don't know.
We hardly ever had to talk. I just had to write. What it was I called him from my home phone once a week. I had a list of topics
That's really cute.
That's how you know you're gay, though.
In the sense of,
like,
you
don't know what the fuck to say. You're like, when you're around a guy and it's like romantic, and you're like, whoa.
Well, I don't know how to talk to guys in general, I would say.
I don't know how to talk to pretty much anyone.
Yeah, that's really the truth.
Right.
So let me start by saying this show, Gayotic, is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How are you guys doing right now? Speaking of BetterHelp.
Not good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, living in the world as we're experiencing it now can often be, you know, at times you'll feel elated and at other times you'll feel very depressed. And I think we oscillate between those two emotions frequently. And
absolutely.
It's hard to do that by yourself.
Definitely.
Well, that's why it's so nice to have a therapist that you can talk to help bring you back to what you care about in life, or just talk about, you know, the everyday problems of existence.
Yeah.
You know?
We are very pro therapy as a band.
Hell yeah.
I'm also pro, like, getting help where you can find it. And what I love about BetterHelp is how accessible it is for people to try. I have a lot of friends where BetterHelp was, like, the first therapist that they
I was going to mention a friend
found.
Of ours
yeah.
who had a BetterHelp, who found his therapist through BetterHelp is an individual that travels quite a bit and mm-hmm. needed to be able to do it over the phone. And yeah, it's like starting therapy can be a lot like starting to date, and mm-hmm. it makes you feel very nervous, and you do have to find the right person, and mm-hmm. BetterHelp can, you know, kind of facilitate that process a little bit.
Definitely. So we encourage all y'all to visit betterhelp.com/gayotic today, and you can get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/gayotic. Go to therapy, y'all. Go,
please.
You're listening to Gayotic. Go to therapy.
Put the podcast down and get help with BetterHelp.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So back to the topic. Where's the shame?
Well, I didn't have shame around not liking guys because I actually have always been very capable of being obsessed with men. Mm-hmm. I can be obsessed with a guy.
Well, because maybe you're obsessed with the patriarchy and power.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm a Slytherin.
Ooh.
So I didn't ever struggle with that. But I did.
I was crushed under the weight of my own big brain.
Ooh. Something that we, I think, have discovered through our friendship is, like, maybe because I was so straight passing and so femme, I actually did have more sexual experiences with
pants.
Girls.
Totally.
Come in pants.
That's different. That's a different thing.
That was totally a big discovery for me.
But I did have more sexual experiences with girls.
Well, because you were allowed to be. They
were like, put these dykes in a cage. Away from my daughter.
And I was like, I'm coming over for sleepover.
Katie, same normal girl, just like every other girl. Joe and Naomi are clearly gross. They can come, but it's fucking weird if they also play strip poker with the other girls.
Yeah.
It just gets weird. Mm. So you don't play, but you're playing, but you don't take anything off.
No,
I can't remember. I can't remember if anybody ever, like, caught me doing that stuff when I was younger, but I have like a vague feeling around like being super young, like kindergarten or before, and like kissing a girl on a play date, but kind of like making out, to be honest.
Couldn't have been me, but.
And feeling like, okay, that was maybe not what we're supposed to be doing on a play date. And then I fast forward to when I was watching the movie Get Over It, and I learned how to, I could do this thing on my VCR.
Yeah, I know this.
Did that make you feel shame?
Yeah, we know this. Say it for the folks,
okay,
at home.
Okay, there was a scene where a woman's top got pulled off in kind of a Rube Goldberg effect.
Wow, amazing.
In a Chinese restaurant. And I figured out that if I pressed like pause and fast forward at the same time, it would go in slow motion and I could see the boobies. So my mom wasn't home. I did it. And then I was standing in front of the TV and I thought I was going to pee in my pants. So I was, if you just saw me from above, if you were God watching this small child.
Imagine, that's the moment.
It was just God's a small,
like, I wonder what Katie's checking on Katie.
There's a small girl standing in front of a very big TV.
Were you by yourself?
I was by myself. I was 2 feet away from the TV. I was standing on my tiptoes and I had both hands kind of like a banana hammock holding my
meanwhile, God is watching.
How old were you?
Probably, I don't know, 8?
Interesting.
Or something.
Interesting.
And
did you masturbate?
Not to fruition at that point, no. I don't think I had any idea how to do that. But because I thought I needed to pee.
But you were like, my belly button hurts.
And like, then I was like, that was also wrong.
Well, it's when you know it's wrong.
That's when you felt wrong?
I think as soon as I had gay sexual feelings, I think it was also tied into shame. That could be the Irish Catholicism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Intergenerational shame woven into the DNA.
Wow.
You know, my dad recently told me that his grandparents were both gay. And so I was
like,
I love
that.
And they were married and they had like 13 kids or whatever, something crazy.
That's the craziest part
they
of this
did that a
revelation.
Lot. I would definitely do that, I think, if I was born in another
like,
century.
It's like, if you're both kind of queer, I guess you're just like, well, just maybe we should just be together, I guess, because like, whatever.
You have to really get along.
Well, then you can have side flings and they get it, you know.
That is horny.
And they're not going to murder you if they find out.
Scary. Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, okay, I think that's enough shame for me.
Okay.
Jogo.
It's so hard. I relate to you so much because so much of my shame is also just feeling like not like a girl.
Yeah.
And feeling wrong and also like getting misgendered and being called a boy, but then being like, I'd rather be a boy, but I'm a girl.
Right.
Like when I was a young kid.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
And then it's also like, is that internalized misogyny?
Yeah.
Or like, what really is that?
Just feeling like an other. I think that's the thing I always felt.
I've wrestled with that.
Like an other, but it was more manifest as like, I don't know how to pose right in photos. If that makes any sense.
Which is gay.
That's the most interesting thing you've ever said.
I will say that
because you
Dykes,
didn't know what?
We are objectively the worst at taking photos or posing for photos or being in photos.
I feel like I can do it now. When
yeah,
I was
we're
a kid,
better
my,
at now.
My
we
little
train.
Fat ass couldn't do it.
Oh,
I am fat. I just like cystic acne.
Because like there was a time
uncomfortable.
People would take photos on actual cameras and they'd get uploaded in batches on Facebook and like
they post
the
even
horror.
The photos
awful. Actually, I actually do relate to this.
The
and
horror
then seeing
of
yourself.
Yeah, seeing yourself and just be. And I just remember being like, this should not be viewable.
Yeah.
It's horrible that people
the panopticon of early internet.
Yeah.
Honestly, all of those photos, like I did re-download Facebook because I want to sell some stuff on Facebook Marketplace. I haven't gone on my Facebook. But I, it would be an interesting
you're,
discovery.
You're trying to get to the marketplace.
To go back. Yeah, well, I'm obviously wheeling and dealing. you know me.
Joe's making big deals.
And trying to make big deals. But where was I? You know what?
You relate in feeling like an other.
Oh, yeah. I felt like an other. But I remember, as you guys know, my brother's also a homosexual.
Yes.
Just
which he's not out. We're just outing him.
Yeah, we're out of him right now. Sorry, Louie.
No, he's very out and
no,
very
he's
gay.
Definitely very, very gay. But I remember I had gay feelings before and I felt weird about them. But there's just this one moment I was doing gay things. I was doing gay things with an older girl. You guys know my whole story. Yeah. I was a freshman in high school. I know I felt gay shame before this, but this was like where – like, I feel like I feel like I could have come. It's not like I was never in or out of the closet. It's not like I ever came out because I was always just gay. I thought you were going in a different
direction there.
I feel I could come even talking about it, if I'm honest.
I just came in my pants, actually. When I've been saying
full transparency.
Come, this whole episode I've been saying come and pant, I was actually saying I'm pretty close to coming in my pants, and I just did.
Wait, you're saying you didn't come out of the closet, really?
Well, I just never did. Yeah. Like, my whole life, I never really came out of the closet.
Until I force you out.
Until right now. This is my coming out story.
but would have been a moment.
Yeah, that would have, well, it's not like that.
Is it the feeling after?
Well, my brother said to me, it's so horrible. It's like I was doing gay things, and it would never occur to me that it was
like
weird.
Were you doing like the full gay things?
Yeah, I was doing the full gay things.
Yeah, okay.
I was in gay love.
Yeah.
But I was obviously a little baby child.
Yeah,
but
you were so young.
But Louis said to me, aren't you scared about what other people are going to think? And that was like, I think I could have, it's not like my narrative, I think I could have stopped myself from maybe doing things with boys later on that I did if that didn't happen. But I do feel like I never really registered as what I was doing was wrong until like he said that to me. But I know he said that to me because he was going through an even more like intense thing, but he didn't, it's just like a different experience. But I just remember that, like, I don't even know if he would remember that at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just interesting. I know I felt a lot of shame, like, before that, because I remember, when I was younger. But I think I was also more tied up with gender, too.
But do you think when he said that to you, like, it hadn't occurred to you to be scared of what other people would think about it?
I think I was just so caught up in... You know,
you were in
like,
love.
Yeah, it was my first like romantic like experience. Yeah, you know what I mean.
And we've talked about this before, like in relationships now. Like when you're just with your person and you're doing things, and then you realize you're like, oh, it's funny that this is gay.
Yeah, it's so weird. Sometimes.
So you don't really think about it. And then somebody, it sounds
shame
like.
Shame creeps in. Well, someone's,
I mean,
like, voice.
I mean, the shame isn't a part of you. You know what I mean? Like, you as a godly creature aren't shameful. Shame is entered from people who've been in reality. Who've existed in this world.
Because of Eve eating the apple.
Yeah, that dirty slut.
Because of the dirty whore and her curiosity.
Women are God's devils.
God's little devils on earth.
Anytime a woman asks a question,
tell her shut the hell up.
That's actually the name of this podcast. Shut the hell up.
We're trying to prevent gay shame.
But you know what it doesn't exist. Like, because you as a creature, it's like anything I do and that I know now, it's like it's not shameful to be gay. The only thing that's shameful is the thing that already exists in society. Society's view that it's shameful. You know what I mean? Like, you don't feel shame
society's
inherently.
Expectations,
I can't really
like,
remember anybody saying to me until much later. I do feel like I felt the shame before anyone said to me that it was weird or wrong.
Well, I think maybe you have a sexual feeling.
Yeah.
An early sexual feeling, I think, brings up shame because you're like, this feels good, but I know, because I'm not an idiot, that I can't talk about this.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
Like,
you're like, I'm not going to tell somebody about this.
But it's not like someone has to say something to you for you to exist in this society that has norms. It's like you having a sexual feeling about a woman is not something that's represented to you on TV, especially with, like, when we were growing up, or things that you saw that was normal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
There was something that was not of the ordinary about it. Because
and if
of,
it
like,
is being represented, it's like as a joke.
Yeah, or like in a way that it's like, I'm like,
kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, Ross's wife is a dirty lesbian on Friends. You remember
that?
That
was a big deal.
They were like, she's a dirty, ugly lesbian. Fucking weird. And then, like, she's, like, not on the show at all. And they're like, how disgusting. Or whatever.
But even like, that was, like, that was the best that it had been, really.
She was pretty banging
cuckoo
for
crazy.
Honest, I think she was pretty hot, so.
Yeah, what's her
name? I can't remember.
I don't know who she is. I'm sure, and she was straight, probably by a straight woman.
Was she Clarice in the Mary-Kate and Ashley, It Takes Two?
You couldn't even.
No.
Could put a gun to my head with that question.
No way, I would know that.
Okay. See, this is the being socialized differently, because I mean, seen every Mary-Kate and Ashley.
I've seen a lot of them, but God, I told you the whippets and
The whipping it and dipping it.
Whipping. It's honestly not the whippets. It's actually the systemic problem of pot. Systemic.
It is a little scary to me how that could have affected me. Systemic pot in my life. I think we should actually end with tip of the day.
I think we should as well.
Yeah, wow.
I brought chips so that we could do real chip of the day instead of last time we said we were going to do chip of the day. We didn't have chips.
I ate these recently. I didn't know they existed.
Okay,
I brought kettle
for the audio files.
Wait. Get us some ASMR. Crinkle the bag. Ooh,
these are okay.
Crinkle cut.
These are the Crinkle Cut Kettle Brand Dill Pickle Potato Chips. Great taste naturally.
Okay. Before we actually get into this, we've been chatting. Okay, I'm going to ask some questions.
Okay.
If you're going to buy a brand of chip, okay, fuck that. Okay, I got another question.
I don't buy chips because I'm going to eat them.
Well, I eat them. How do we feel about Crinkle Cut versus, if we're talking about just, we're on kettle chips today.
When I saw this, I was like, nice. I want Crinkle Cut.
Yeah, and are
you
we,
like the texture.
Do you guys, yeah. are we into, as a chip eater, are you into something that's more acidic or are you into something that's more like spicy, barbecue-y?
I'll tell you.
Is salt and vinegar acidic? I'm just like
acidic. As fuck.
I'm just all the way. Salt.
This is it. Yeah. This is it. I had these recently.
I'm
a dill girl.
Generally speaking, I like two things.
Do you like barbecue? Don't
texture.
You?
So crinkle,
you're doing a crinkle with your hands.
Wavy texture or folded. I like when they're folded in half.
Like what? Like
when
what?
A chip is naturally like folded in half in the bag. No, like when you get a Lay's potato chip and it's
naturally folded.
A crunch, like anything with a good crunch I'm into. And I'm into the flavor, just as much dusting of flavor as I could possibly get. I just want it to be intense. I don't care if it's salty or sour.
What do you think?
Acidic barbecue. Goldfish. I'm into all of it. Goldfish are fire.
I was thinking about flavor blasted goldfish. Were you guys into those?
Those are so good. They were huge in middle school.
Yeah,
along
definitely.
With Altoid sours.
Yeah.
If you
oh my god,
Altoid
yeah,
sours.
Dude. Those oh were, my god,
those were
the
viral
inside of my mouth time. Ripped up,
literally shredded to pieces.
These will cut your mouth.
Yeah.
All right,
I had these recently because Naomi and I were talking about.
I'm gonna open them up.
Yeah, open them up. The pickle brand of the ones from Mendocino Farms are not vegan. These are vegan.
Those are
I would say are more akin to sour cream and onion.
These look phenomenal.
Certainly dill pickle chips. They really ring true to the name. Right, don't eat it yet.
Yeah.
Wait, actually, should we go over how the chip looks?
They look really great.
They look
no,
sexy.
But
they look
like
a ruffle. Like
sour cream and onion, like in terms of
similar.
They're dusted, like you can see the actual dill. You can see the herb.
They're definitely ruffled and they look amazing. And I can smell them. Let's do this.
I got you. Oh, I'm happy.
I find these to be so good. I ate a whole bag of them when your mom came by to City Blue.
Oh, swag. Man, these are fucking good.
They are dill pickle chips. You can taste the dill.
You can taste the pickle.
Yeah. As opposed to the Mendocino Farms ones are more like sour cream and onion.
That's why I think they have, I think it's
that's
the
why,
cream.
I think they have cream on them. They have to have some sort of like.
How do you think they flavor this?
Is it
pickle water or something?
Like I think it's vinegar. Because the thing is, it does taste like pickle. Like, that's the thing. It's not like salt and vinegar, it's like vinegar. This does taste like a pickle.
Yeah, I'm thinking
I really
that...
don't know. Wait, let's look at... Can you pass me the bag? I want to look at the ingredients.
I'll read them to you. Pretty simple, actually. Potatoes, safflower and or sunflower and...
That was a HeadGum Podcast.